you have these two Mishnayos, which are related, basically related. One Mishnah is Tazayin that says that Olam Hazeh Demel Pros Dor B'Fnei Olam Haba. This world is like an entry hall, a gate for the next world. And then it says Haskein Atzmacha B'Pros Dor, that you should prepare yourself in the entry hall. Today should be Kanis L'Trachman. Know that you should go into the palace. That's the Mishnah Tazayin. And then Mishnah Yud Zayin, which is basically a continuation of that same idea, expresses the concept that the enjoyment that exists, the pleasure that exists in Olam Haba, cannot be compared. It's qualitatively differentiated from any pleasure that a person can have in this world. Okay? Yeah. We mentioned what Rashi says. Rashi says, our Rashi, the Pirush Rashi, not really Rashi, but the Pirush over here, that says that the reason is because of the Tzoras that inherently exist in our world. The Tzoras which inherently exist in our world, because there's no such thing as pure satisfaction. Because all satisfaction of man is based upon an attempt to recapture, but to capture a certain fantasy. And the world of reality simply doesn't conform to people's fantasies. And even though man always continues to make an attempt to have itself. But it's a futile attempt. Philosophy's anger and disappointment is because they're based upon the attempt of man to exercise a control over reality, which is impossible, because he fails to realize that the nature of his true ultimate desire is one of fantasy. You see? And that really takes into consideration many philosophies. Man's nature is such that he refuses to recognize the one most painful idea. And the most painful idea is that at the bottom of his most desired and cherished dreams, at the bottom of his most desired and emotionally treasured dreams, lies a great fantasy. You see, he always blames reality. He always says that if he can only make certain changes, and the changes, because he doesn't understand the true nature of his ultimate desire, these changes seem very possible in the times. But if he would understand what he really is searching for, the true nature of his own desire, he would see that it's impossible. Reality simply doesn't conform to it. But he refuses to turn his mind's eye on his underlying desire. And that's why the result is always depression, disparity, depression. Okay, desperation. Now. Yeah. The thing is, if that be the case, so then it would turn out that man is ultimately doomed to live an unhappy life, because either he's in conformity with his most cherished desires, in which case he's in the world of fantasy, and the end result has to be frustration, or else if he doesn't cater to these desires, then he's going to be unhappy because he doesn't cater to these ultimate desires. So he's caught either way. Yadis lies in handling this question. That's where the essence of Yadis lies. And it's a very subtle point. It's a subtle point. I think this Mishnah really expresses it more than anything else. There's one thing I'd like to add, though, to this Pirush. See, the Pirush maintains that the reason why the Chaye Ha'olam Haba, why the Chaye Ha'olam Haba is infinitely greater, the enjoyment, that is, that a person receives in Chayim Olam Haba is infinitely greater than the enjoyment a person receives in this world. So this Pirush says that the reason is because in this world there's always frustration. It's essentially a situation where it must be frustrated. There's no way for a person to attain satisfaction out of the physical world. It's an inherent case of frustration. Okay? So there's another reason, however. This reason, I believe, the Rambam says in his Pirush HaMishnayos. I think it's an important reason. and I think we mentioned it once a long time ago, that everything in nature, everything in nature has its own type of quality. So that if you have the quality of life of a behemoth, the quality of life of a behemoth is different than the quality of life of a person. And the quality of an enjoyment of an object can't be greater than the nature of the object itself. Okay? So therefore, even if the satisfactions of the psyche were such that they were capable of being achieved, which they're not because they're based on fantasy, but let's say they were capable of being achieved, still, what I want to add to Pirush Rashi is that even if it were possible to achieve the satisfactions of the psyche, it still would never compare to the Chai Olam Haba. Why? Because the nature of the psyche is that it partakes of the physical. And the nature of the neshama, of the soul, is of a different kind altogether. It's a different kind. Yes. It's a different substance. It's a different type of a thing. That's why one exists eternally and the other is only temporal. That's it. Now, the concept that Chazal say with regard to Olam Haba, the main concept that all the Rishonim say, you know, it's not just Rishonim, it's a pasuk in the Navi, Yishayahu. And that is, Kol Navim Isnabu L'Imos Mashiach, Avo Olam Haba, Ayin L'Roh Asa L'Kim Zul Asecha, Yas Olam HaKala. That pasuk is quoted by Chazal, by all the Rishonim, nobody other than. That's the meaning of the pasuk. That the pasuk has a secondary meaning, aside from what Yeshaya was referring to, but there's an inherent idea in the pasuk with regard to Olam Haba. And that is that no one has seen, no one knows what the enjoyment of Olam Haba is. Now the way the Rambam explains this in Sanhedrin, it means as follows. It means that every particular thing has its attending enjoyment. Like if a behemoth eats grain, behemoth eats grass. So an animal eats grass, so the function of the animal's eating is endowed with a certain pleasure, certain enjoyment. Okay? When the psyche achieves a certain desires that it wants, there is an attending enjoyable experience. The only enjoyable experience that we don't have is the enjoyment of the activity of the soul. That enjoyment we do not have in this world. Man does not have that enjoyment. The Rambam makes this point in the Pirush Mishnayos on Sanhedrin. And so far as the enjoyments of the soul are concerned, the soul in this existence cannot really partake of such an of its enjoyment. There's no such thing as a really spiritual enjoyment, so to speak. It doesn't exist. Because the enjoyments of the soul in this world, because of the nature of the merger between the soul and the psyche and the body, the enjoyments that a person experiences in this world are purely psychological. And the Rambam explains that's the meaning of the Chazal and the Pasuk. I mean, it's clear. It's not just the Rambam's position here. You know, it's not just the Rambam as a philosopher talking. It's Chazal. Which it's the Yisod of our Amunah, which is that the enjoyment of the soul has been taken away from us, or we have been prevented from enjoying this type of pleasure, which means to say that when a person is involved in ideas and chachmas olakim, so there's an enjoyment that we perceive, but the enjoyment that we perceive is only a psychological enjoyment. But the true enjoyment, there has to be an attending enjoyment to that activity. An enjoyment which the soul can experience. Just like there's an attending enjoyment to a physical pleasure, a psychological pleasure. But in our existence, as long as the soul is tied to the body, like in our existence, it's impossible for the soul to have that enjoyment. It doesn't exist. That's what the Rambam says. What is the definition of Olam Haba? What is Olam Haba? Olam Haba is the situation where the soul will have an enjoyment. It's natural enjoyment that results from its activity. See, in every activity that a person experiences, there's an attendant enjoyment, activity of the body, activity of the psyche. The enjoyment that naturally corresponds, results from the activity of the soul, is the enjoyment of Olam Haba. And that's what the Navi said, Kol HaNaviim, that's what Chazal said, Kol HaNaviim Snabu L'Olam Haba. That's the question of Olam Haba means. Kol HaNaviim Snabu L'Olam Haba Mashiach. Aval Olam Haba, what that means, Gan Eden, according to Rabbi. Ayin L'Rasa L'Kim Zal Hashach, which means to say that the ultimate enjoyment of the Neshama is something which only God knows. It means to say that really, when a person perceives Chachma Solakim, a person perceives God's Chachma, the soul should experience an enjoyment, because that's its faculty, that's its nature, it's acting in accordance with its nature, so it should perceive a certain enjoyment, but we don't have that enjoyment. Our enjoyment here is purely psychological. You see. Now the reason, however, God created man in a way that he experiences the greatest psychological enjoyment from Chachma. That is in order that the soul should be able to function and the person should be able to achieve a state of happiness in his physical existence because of the activity of perceiving Chachma Solokim. But that is not the real enjoyment. It's not the real enjoyment. It's just that God and his Chachma, when he merged the soul and the guf, he created the guf in such a way that the greatest psychological enjoyment is achieved by perceiving Chachma. Because it's an enjoyment which is always readily available, it's an enjoyment which has intense, which is very intense, which attracts the greatest energy, greatest psychic energy of man is attracted to. Person can work all day as a lumberjack, but he still hasn't tapped his real energy. The real energy is attached to the chachma, the thinking. And the guf is created in such a way that even when a person's sick, you see, he can still think. He can still think. Matter of fact, Albert Einstein once said, when he's sick, he's very happy when he's sick. Because when Einstein is quiet, he can think, and doesn't disturb. So the person's physical nature is created in such a way that he could practically always think. I mean, the mind can almost always work as long as the body is somehow, no matter how weak it is, even the most frail people, the weakest people, have produced the greatest ideas. And the person's guf is constructed in a way that it could always, almost always, achieve this great satisfaction of perceiving the world of chachma. So in the physical sense, of course, the world, the person is the Chacham, has the greatest life. But don't think that this great enjoyment that he has anything to do with Olam Haba. It doesn't have to do with Olam Haba. That's Olam Hazeh. That's Olam Hazeh because it's based upon the fact that God created man in such a way that he should be most capable of perceiving Chachmas Hashem. So he has to have a psyche and his body has to be worked out in such a way that he could be involved in this activity, it should give him a tremendous satisfaction, and he could have a great life. But that has nothing to do with the ultimate enjoyment. The ultimate enjoyment is Olam Haba, a totally different phenomenon. It means that the enjoyment that results from the soul itself, the soul per se, being involved in the activity of perceiving Chachma. And that enjoyment is only in the next world. It's not here. You see? It's not here. Ayin lo ra'a Elokim zol ha'asecha means no eye has ever seen this, not even another. Because no eye has ever seen this, because the only way to know it is for a person not to be a human being anymore, which is impossible. So that is the concept of the enjoyment of Olam Haba. That being the case, you see, what I want to add to the Pirush Rashi is, this Pirush over here, that the reason why Chazal say that the enjoyment of Olam Haba is so infinitely greater than any enjoyment that we could have is for another reason. Because since the soul is of a different quality, the enjoyment itself must be of a different quality. It's not just that if the psyche were permitted to avail itself of its enjoyments, and if it didn't find itself in a state of frustration the way it's constructed, inherently, didn't find itself inherently in a state of conflict, you see, it still, even those moments of enjoyment, there are moments of psychological, great psychological enjoyment. There are moments, but there are moments of psychological enjoyment. One can't deny that. If there weren't such moments, and then no one would ever even try to organize reality to conform to his fantasies, you see. But there are moments. The moments are what keep the person going. So even in those moments, that enjoyment in those moments can't possibly be equal to the enjoyment of all of my breath. Because it is still an enjoyment that corresponds to the psyche, but the psyche has a certain quality, a certain nature. It's a physical substance. So the physical substance can never partake of the quality of a substance which is of a different nature, which is eternal. And that enjoyment that this eternal entity has to, by definition, be superior to the enjoyment that the physical or psychological enjoyment that a person may experience, because of the very nature of the substance. That's the point that I want to have. The Rambam makes this point, if I remember correctly, Rambam makes this point in the Pirush Mishnayos in Sanhedrin. I think it's a very important point. If you learn through, I'm just gleaning from the Rambam, if you learn through the Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos in Sanhedrin, you'll see that idea is implicit in his statements, where he discusses the concept of Olam Haba. So it's more than just a practical thing. Practically, psychological enjoyment is impossible for a person to attain. It's practically impossible. A person can fantasize about it, it's practically impossible, because he's after certain fantasies, which he's unaware of, and he thinks when he sees a bit of reality corresponding that that's the enjoyment. He runs after it, it's not there, and he keeps on going for the next one. That's the nature of man. That's what a person enjoys. Let me give you an example. An animal's enjoyment cannot compare to a man's enjoyment. Can't compare. If an animal enjoys, when an animal eats, it has what it needs, and a cow is satisfied and it's pasturing in the fields, it's eating grass, that cannot compare to the intensity of the psychological enjoyment that a man can have. Because the psyche's on a higher level. Is mentioning is true, that with regard to, insofar as a person is hindered, the soul is hindered from its full function in this world because of the fact that all knowledge has to be filtered through the senses. All knowledge in this world has to be filtered through the senses before the soul can begin to operate. So, therefore, the soul in this world is operating without its full abilities. And that's why it could never really achieve its ultimate function in this world. Even a person who's the most perfected, like Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the idea of Moshe Rabbeinu. The most perfected man can still never achieve the full function of his soul in this world. So when Moshe Rabbeinu was nifter, so then his soul was able to achieve a higher level of function qualitatively than he was as long as he was incorporated in the physical. Therefore, of course, the enjoyment, the attending enjoyment, must increase, because that's when the soul is functioning its fullest. You see. An interesting thing, but the same Rambam, there's an interesting point in that Rambam, I ought to mention Agavocha. The Rambam over there in Sanhedrin, I thought they have a better Hasoga, he says, of all in that book. In the same breath, on the one hand, he says it's impossible to see it. But then he says that those who are truly perfected have a much better idea. They have a better idea than of Olam Haba than those who don't.
Yeah, but seem to,
they're masig more. Good. Good answer. Yeah. The answer is what Leslie Unger mentioned. The answer is, what does it mean, a better asog of Olam Haba? It's still ayin l'rosa l'kim z'wasecha. What it means is, we'll explain it a little more later. As we go on with the member. Let's leave that for the moment, okay? Now. Yeah. Perfection of the soul in this world is merely one thing. It's the activity of the soul, okay? The Rambam talks about Gan Eden over here. Gan Eden. And Yemos HaMashiach. Yimasa Mashiach. Yimasa Mashiach. So, not the Gan Eden that we think, it was different. Yimasa Mashiach. Yimasa Mashiach, he says that what will happen, he says that the main characteristic of Yimasa Mashiach is that a person won't have to work very hard in order to attain his needs. That's what he says. That's the main characteristic of Olam HaBa. A person will not have to work very hard, not have to toil to attain his daily needs. There's a little bit of effort, and he'll be able to have everything he needs. That's what the Rambam says is the main characteristic of the Yemosa Mashiach. He says, what's the advantage of Yemosa Mashiach? He says, a person won't have the worries that he has today. He says, he says, a person doesn't have worries, says life is extended. It's a natural result. I mean, today they're discussing this a lot. That a person, the stress. Stress is what shortens a person's life. The Chazal very, very much often. A person that had a stressless life, then he would live much longer and much, much better. So he brings down, he mentions all the different things that are going to happen in the time of the Melech HaMashiach. And he says that it'll be Kim Kol Taras Moshe, believe Daigos, won't be any worries, won't be any pachad, won't be anybody oppressing us. He says, V'harbe kepsukim meil b'yenu, the matzav kezeh, when this situation arrives, in this situation, Yusag ha'olam ha'bo ha'soga chazakos, then olam ha'bo will be understood very strongly. What does that mean? But he just said before, the same Rambam said before, that you really can't understand it so well. I can't understand it at all. Now there he's saying that they will understand. So what is the meaning of that Rambam? Let's leave that government. Okay. Let's get back to the Mishnah over here. So what does the Mishnah say? So the Mishnah says a simple formula. That since this world is only a pathway to the next world, so therefore he says that a person, that's why Yud Zayin, Tes Zayin really states the premise. That this world is, what is this world? It's a pathway to the next world. Then, since that's the case, so Yud Zayin says, basically, that a person should be involved, should spend his life being involved in Chochmah. And in order to prepare himself for the next world. Now, the question, of course, is like this. That this is a contradiction to another principle. It's a contradiction to the principle of learning Torah Lishma. Why? Because what's the concept of learning Torah Lishma? The idea is that Altiyu Tavarim Amsham Shemesarav Amnasatel Pras. You're not supposed to do any mitzvahs for the purpose of receiving a reward, right? And what does that mean? Reward means Olam HaBa. Even Olam HaBa, a person is not supposed to do it for. Yeah, that's clear. That's clear. The Rambam, for instance, in Hilchos Shuva, he explains that Tova Tzvunul Tzadikim Michay Olam HaBa. That's the good. Okay. Then the Schar Tzadikim, Sheyizkul Olam Zeyu B'Tavazu. Okay, that's the Schar Tzadikim. And then he says, Oved Me'Ava, a person that serves God out of Ava, out of love. Oseik P'Torah B'Mitzvos V'Olech B'Nesivos HaChochma, he follows the ways of Chochma. Lomen Me'Dava Ba'Olam, not because of any purpose, I mean, he has no objective, any physical objective in this world. Lomen Me'Yiras HaRoa, not because he's frightened of anything. V'Lo Kidei Lirash HaTova, and not in order to inherit the good. What is the Tova? The Tova is what he mentioned before. Tova, Tzvunah, L'Tzadikim, Hi Chayal Naba. That's the good. That's the ultimate good. So a person that really does mitzvahs and learns Torah Lishma doesn't do so because he's going to receive the Tova, because he's going to receive Olam Haba. That's not his purpose. If that's his purpose, then he's not learning Torah Lishma. Because learning Torah Lishma is because learning Torah and doing mitzvahs is the good. It is the good right now, right here. The Torah doesn't mention anything about openly, anything about doing mitzvahs because of Olam Haba. It's just there's Ramazan, but there's nothing to tell openly. It just says Ramon Yitavach means here. Basic Torah means it'll be good. This is the good. Of course, Chazal say Ramon Yitavach Achla Yomer Lorin Shulolim Shikulo Orach, but that's only an implication of the Torah. That's just an implication. Openly, the Torah says, states that what is the good here? Ain't a mikvah that you go. The good is the good of the Torah mitzvah is because this is the best thing for man. This is the best activity. This is the happiest life. The best life. So you don't have to look for any other reward. The reward is that this is, you are right now, a person who's learning Torah, is enjoying the greatest enjoyment. That's it. He's in the greatest state. Doesn't have to look any further. So that's why Lishma, a person who does Lishma over in Me'ava, is one who does it because this is the good. This is the good for man. Man is constructed for this. He's made for this. This is what makes him happy. This is what gives him enjoyment. This is what gives him satisfaction. This makes his life. That's what it means. Literally, right here, this is the best life. So you don't do it for any other purpose. So if that's the case, and the Rambam says openly, lo mitnei, lo v'lo kidei li rasha tova. Elo osa emes, he does the truth, and neshu emes, because this is the truth. This is the sofa, the sofa tova lo v'glala. Yeah, eventually the good will come. Fine, well, yeah, naturally, if he lives this way, the natural result will be that he has olam haba. But that's not his motivation. He's not motivated by olam haba. See me? Al yom, I'm sorry. Alachala. Al perikasir alachala. Al yom, arein yosim b'sefer losuwa alachala. Kidei she'kabu kol ha'brocha seksuot. Oh, kidei she'eskel l'chai olam haba. Shouldn't say that. Person shouldn't say that. It's open. Okay. Yeah. Now, that being the case, that a person is not supposed to on the highest level. Not supposed to on the highest level. By the way, that's just the highest level. But the Rambam mentions in his Rambam mentions the beginning of Avos on the memory where it says Alkulik Avodah Mashan from Shalav and Nafta Kavod Pras. So the Rambam mentions that, and he says the Omnam Rambam says Du Kavodim Sheinu Matavim Atav Lo Gvidas Chesed. What's a possession? You of the Me'ava Kemoshe Amarnu Perik Yud Misanhedrin Vim Kol Zeh Lo Potrin Min Ayiro. So a person shouldn't think that he's just on a level where he's just going to be over Me'ava. That's wrong. That's only Avraham Avinu is completely over Me'ava, but a regular person can't be over Me'ava. It's a combination. He should appreciate. Sometimes he's in over Me'ava. He appreciates Chachmas Hashem, and he sees the greatness. So then he's over Me'ava that moment. But then, once his emotions take hold of him, and he's not on that level, then he has to be over Me'ira. He can't just say he's going to be over Me'ava. It's already very limited, because most people's over Me'ava is limited to a few moments. It's not really a constant thing. So you have to have the practical that he should be over Me'ira most of the time. That's what the Rambam says. But the objective is to increase the amount that he's over Me'ava. That's the objective. Okay. Where he says that the purpose is, I can't find it, but he says that the purpose is to be to have olam haba. He says. So that's why the chacham. That's why the chachamim. Yeah. Right. Tichelik. Right. Yeah, the contradiction runs off, but the contradiction's there anyways. Okay. Yeah, I have to search for it. But anyways, it's the same contradiction. What is wrong? You have it over there? But there is a Ram that says openly. No, are you here? Take this like a base. Sava is something else. Sava is not so bad, but today is bad. Today is bad. Okay. So what's the answer? So what's the answer to the question? It's a big contradiction. What's the answer to the question? You see the question? Does everybody see the question? On the one hand, a person is not supposed to do Torah, be also Torah mitzvahs, the Rambam says, you should not do a follow my bar. That's not lishma, because he's doing a follow my bar. The person does it because he wants chayolam habah. He is a person that's not doing the mitzvahs lishma. Not saying he shouldn't do it, but it's not a high level. That's not the ultimate level. So therefore, a person should do mitzvahs because this is the true way of life, and this is the way man should live. The osa and mispunesh lemis. This is the way to live. That's why a person does it, not because he's going to have olam haba. On the other hand, the Rambam says that the chachamim were osek the mitzvahs kedei sheyizke l'chai olam haba. And that's what the Rambam says over here too. It's similar. The Rambam says over here, he says that it's an important Rambam, by the way. He says like this. He says, but you look at the Rambam, it's like this. Kein ma'isa v'cheshma v'das v'chachm v'shol sh'taholech shama. Avalin yinu ha-shegelech odom olov yishor la'olom v'lozeh tzorech sh'yishtad la'odom b'zeh. Oh, yeah. V'lozeh tzorech sh'yishtad la'odom b'zeh azman ha-kotzer. A person should be careful with the small time that he has in this life. V'lo yovad zmano. He shouldn't waste his time. Only with knos ha-milos, improving himself, attaining good midos, he can never change that. Whatever he loses in this world, it's impossible to change. When Chazal knew this, they only spent the time in Chachma and improving their midos. They only spent a very short time enjoying the physical. Only that which is absolutely necessary. And every other enjoyment which is not absolutely necessary, Chazal shun. They don't want to have any part of it. Why? Because they don't want to waste their energies. They want them to use their energies totally for the enjoyment of ruchnis, and in order they should have chayei olam haba. Sheyef shizulas. Then the chayei matzilu is manam kulu b'gashmi. Says most people think it's the opposite. Because most people, the reason why most people think it's the opposite, and this is what the Ram mentioned, that most people think that if a person didn't enjoy this life, he wasted his life. You see? And he says it really is exactly the opposite. They wasted their life. Because since this life is only an introduction to the next, to the eternal life, so it comes out that a person that spends his time here with the physical enjoyments, which are only really here as a means for him enjoying the chachma, so he wastes his life. It was like a person who spent his whole life with the means, spent his entire life with the means, never with the end. Okay, but the reason why most people think that way is because most people, this is the big difference between the way Chazal look at life and the way the average person looks at life. The average person, the only thing that exists is the psychological enjoyments, because that's the only thing he's familiar with. Okay? The only thing he's familiar with is the satisfaction of his fantasies. Since that becomes the essence of his life, as long as he doesn't move from that point, to him, that's the essence of life. So therefore, if the person doesn't partake of that, he's wasted his life. The person will always say he wasted his life if that which is the essence was wasted. So most people are only aware of one type of thing, the psychological enjoyments. See? The enjoyments of the fantasies. So that becomes the essence of life. But Chazal realized that there is a whole other world that exists in man, which is the enjoyment of Chachma, the perception of Chachma, a whole world of Chachma. Now the world of Chachma, I want you to understand, the world of Chachma that Chazal recognizes, the world of reality, once a person perceives that, that becomes the essence. So then on the contrary, every time he spends his energies enjoying the physical world, he's wasting his energies. So the more he involves himself in Taivas Olam Hazeh, the more he caters to his enjoyments in this world, so the more he's wasting his energies from Chai Olam Haba. Because to Chazal, life has a totally different meaning. It's the world of Chachma. Okay? The world of Chachma means that there's a different identity. Man is looked upon as having a different part of his nature. You see? And that part of his nature is recognized as the essence. That part of his nature is the essence, so then every other involvement is simply a waste. You see? So it depends upon what the essence of man is. For most people who have no knowledge of this other essence, to them the only essence is they feel, they sense desires welling up within their psyche, within their system, and they think this is the essence of life. There's no other perception. But a person that perceives the world of Chachma and perceives that man has the ability to understand the world of Chachma, he sees there's another element in man, and this element is the element that is behind everything in the universe. So therefore, this must be the ultimate element. It's a different phenomenon. He perceives a different phenomena here. Therefore, he recognizes that involving himself in this phenomena is the essence of life. And if one does it, he's losing life. Okay, so therefore, a loss is a loss. What others would consider a loss is actually a gain. Yeah. Okay. Now, for the question, have you had a contradiction? Yeah. The answer later. The answer is that what's wrong with a person when a person says, that a person shouldn't say he's doing mitzvahs because he's going to receive olam haba. What it means to say, what's wrong with that idea is the idea of an exchange. An exchange. See? What's wrong with it? The idea is that you are exchanging one good for another. So a person is saying that I'm doing the Torah mitzvahs in order that I should receive the chayi olam haba. What does it mean, basically? What does it mean? It means the person is still under the influence of the psychological fantasies. That's what it means. He's still under the influence of the psychological fantasy. The only thing is that the psychological fantasy has taken on as an object an unknown entity which he's been told is very good. You see? And that is the Chayal Maba. Because he read the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says, the Yafashah Achas Sakoas Ruach Baal Maba Mikol Chayal Mazah. So he thinks, look, Olam Hazeh is tremendously enjoyable. And that's even more, infinitely more enjoyable. So I'll do the mitzvahs in order to attain that enjoyment. So what it means is, in such a person's mind, his fantasy for enjoyment has remained the same. He's still being guided by his fantasy for enjoyment. The only thing is that his fantasy for enjoyment has taken on another object, an unknown object, which is Olam Haba. You see? And therefore what he says is like this, that I'm doing all these mitzvahs, it's tough to do these mitzvahs and it's tough to learn, but ultimately I'm going to have the greatest satisfaction. That means that the person is completely under the sway of the fantasy, except the fantasy has attached itself to Olam Haba, rather than to being a great, famous or wealthy individual. So instead of taking on the physical, mundane fantasies, he's taken on an unknown. He says, this is greater than that. But he's still in the exact same realm. He still has not changed his realm of operation. That's what Chazal say is on a low level. Kedei she'eh, when a person says, Hareini osei, the mitzvahs, kedei she'ezke l'chayi olam haba. It means to say that in the back of his mind he has this fantasy, these psychological fantasies, but now his psychological fantasies have all been attracted to this olam haba idea. So therefore he does everything in order to have the fantasy which he imagines is olam haba. That is completely false. Such a person is under an illusion. Because the mistake is, he's made a subtle error. The subtle error is that the fantasies, his desires, his fantasy desires are going to be satisfied over there. You see? That doesn't exist. That's a person that operates Shalom Lashmah. But when the Chachom, when it says the Chachomim were careful with their time, Not only with their time. I want you to understand something. It's not just with your time. The person that really wants to perfect himself, any person that honestly wants to perfect himself, has to come across experiences where he must say, even though he can have certain enjoyments, that he refuses to partake of them. Because they waste his time. You see? If he doesn't, then he's not really honest. And he's not really honest. I would say that the best barometer is, in the world, I would say, a person always thinks of what he could have. When he approaches a taiva, the taiva is always what he could have. You see, I could have this. If for the same money he could have a greater taiva, he will always go for the greater taiva. That's a rule. You see? But to a chacham doesn't think in those terms. A chacham doesn't think in terms of what he could have. In terms of his taivas, he thinks in terms of what he needs. What he needs. They're fixed. Fixed. The needs are fixed. So if he needs a certain type of physical situation, even if the greater physical situation will come along, he will not be attracted to it. You see? I would say that is a basic principle that a chacham basically differentiates the chacham from the hamon. The hamon is always what he could have. I could have the same, for another few dollars, I could have this greater enjoyment. You say, well, for the same money I could have it. So therefore, if he didn't do it, he'd experience a terrible loss, a personal loss. Could have done this. I could have a much better house for the same money. I should have looked at that. I totally lost that. You see? But a person who's a chacham, thinks in terms of what he needs. Once he has what he needs, beyond that, there is no advantage. It's simply a waste. There's no such thing as better. The point is, once he has what he needs, that's it. The needs are fixed. In terms of learning, he has certain needs in order to spend his time in Chochmah and doing mitzvahs. So once those needs are established, there is nothing beyond that point. There's no what he could have had. It's what he needs, you see. That's the, I would say, the basic principle which guides the Chochmah and which differentiates the Chochmah from the Hamonam. The Hamonam believes that the enjoyments are endless. It's endless enjoyments, infinite enjoyments. For the Chacham, they're fixed. You see, they're fixed. He needs a certain thing. He needs it in order to learn. He has a certain situation. But the situation is a fixed one in his mind when he starts out for it. And once he attains it, that's it. Now, what I'm saying is like this. The reason why I mention this is because, of course, the way the Rambam describes Chazal on a tremendous level. I mean, we don't even approach this level. I mean, a person can't become an ascetic. That's not the way to improve oneself. But when the Rambam says that Chazal only took that which was absolutely necessary, it means that they were on that level, that was it. Their needs were simply that was necessary, because all their energies could be diverted to Chochmah. But even a person will say, no, I can't do that. I'm not on that level. So therefore, let himself go completely into the world of Tiber. That's usually what happens. First he sees the Chazal, says, oh, I can't live on that level, they're right, I see. And that's it, now I learned, so you see that I spend some time learning, he exonerates himself. But it's a false exoneration, because the same principle should be applied. The principle being that the person's needs should precede his involvement. They should be fixed preceding his involvement, and they shouldn't be generated by his exposure to the world of Taiva. They should be generated by his objective need, which must precede the situation. Once these needs are satisfied, that's it. That principle which Chazal lived by, everyone can live by. Might not be able to live by the level of only a hechrach. We're not on that level. We can't live on that level. Only as absolutely necessary. And Chazal, as I said, Rabbi Elazar Gadol was a very wealthy man. He took a sack of flour and he went from town to town and he made his bed and lived in poverty, and that's it. He was very happy because he was involved in Chochmah. Didn't want to waste any of his energy. We're not on that level. But the principle we can use, the same principle could be used, namely what a person needs, not what he could have, but what he needs to have. It's a different mental frame and it's a different function. And that's the function that a Chochmah should live by. Now, getting back to the contradiction, the answer is like we were mentioning. The answer is that insofar as a person does not remove himself from the fantasies, so the fantasy of ultimate satisfaction is merely converted into an Olam Haba fantasy, he's on a low level. He's on a low level, he's away from the truth. That's not the truth. But there is another possibility. The other possibility is like this. When a person looks around and he sees a whole world of Chochmah opens up before him, and he sees that the whole universe is based on Chochmah, and that this is the world of reality. So then the person sees there's another world that's suddenly been uncovered here. He was raised as a child in the world of the Tivers. That's Chazal saying. Chazal said the Yetzer has a head start, because the Yetzer is a person's bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, so the Yetzer has total control. It means to say, simply, that he's the world of enjoyments, of physical enjoyment, starts at a very, very, very early age. As soon as he's born, Shemina lets his bet nemo, moment of birth. Chazal even questioned whether it's before birth or only after. Okay. But the instinctual life begins very early. Now, when a person gets older, so he perceives that behind this instinctual life is a whole world of Chochmah. The way the instinctual life works itself is all based on Chochmah. The way the instincts work is all based on Chochmah. The way the psyche works is based on Chochmah. The way the universe works is based on Chochmah. There is simply no area. Even the very emotions which drive men are all based on Chochmah, which means the person has the ability to understand them. So you see that the bottom line is a world of Chochmah which opens up for the Chochmah. It's a whole different world. Once that world of Chochmah opens up, he's attracted to the reality of this world. And this becomes the world. You see? Now, while it's true that engaging in the world of Chochmah offers him psychological satisfaction, that is true. But engaging in the world of Chochmah attracts him to the world of Chochmah itself and takes him away from the desire to satisfy his own psyche. the desire to satisfy his own psyche becomes a very small thing. And the attraction to the world of Chachma, it's a lure. It pulls him. And his mind is turned totally towards that. Then when he realizes that this world of Chachma can be, he has a desire, a natural desire to perceive the world of Chachma, and he realizes that this world of Chachma can be perceived in a much greater way in Chai Olam Haba, he's naturally attracted to Chai Olam Haba. That's why the Ram says he's Mis'ava l'Chai Olam Haba. And Kedei She'ezke l'Chai, Kedei She'ye, what was the Ram's Lashon? In Perek Tes, what's the Ram's Lashon? Kedei Kedei She'yizku l'Chai Olam Haba. Why? Because if they will be zocha to be in that situation, then the world of Chachma will be opened up even greater. You follow what I mean? The world of Chachma, that is not considered, I'll tell you, that's not considered a person that's learning Torah in order to have Olam Haba. It's a natural result. The reason, what's wrong with the concept of learning Torah in order to have Olam Haba is because a person, as was mentioned, it's an exchange. Why is it an exchange? It means he's still tied to the world of fantasy. His fantasy is, instead of being a famous, wealthy individual, what he's interested in is having me and Jesus. That's not really such a great enjoyment. I have a better pleasure. They tell me there's a better pleasure. Oh, my boy, I believe Chazal. Chazal are right. There's a better pleasure. So what do I need this for? I'll go for that one. But in his mind, he's still looking to satisfy his own psychological fantasy. That is a low level. That is a low level. But a person for whom the world of Chachma opens up and is attracted to the world of Chachma. So this individual, his desire is to be in this world and to understand the reality. So his idea of Olam Haba, his attraction to Olam Haba, is not because he's going to achieve a satisfaction. It is because he'll be able to partake of the world of reality which he's attracted to the greatest extent. That is not considered Almanas l'kabel pras. On the contrary, that's for its own sake. Exactly. He's involved in it now, but the draw is he wishes that he could be involved in it to a greater extent. You see? To a greater extent. Like most true chachamim, most people can't reach most people. Most Amei Ha'am, you can't reach on this level. For a very simple reason. And that's the reason why the Rambam says that for most people, what they consider a wasted life is not a wasted life. On the contrary, what they consider to be a life that was a wonderful life is a total waste. The reason is because they don't understand this world. They haven't seen this world. You see? The only world they've seen is the world of psychological enjoyments, which they've been raised from early youth, and they have never gone beyond that level of the childhood level. Never gone beyond that level. But a person who has seen this other world, that individual, the life has a totally different meaning. And the essence, and what is an essence and what is an accent, is a totally different meaning. Okay? But you cannot reach most people with this kind of an argument for a simple reason, that they've never experienced it. It's impossible for a person to have a desire. The Hasaga of Olam Haba is that is the place where the ultimate knowledge is possible. And the more a person partakes of knowledge, the more his concept of Olam Haba is realized. He can never fully realize it because it's something that he doesn't know. But his desire for and his appreciation of Chachma, the appreciation of Chachma will automatically give him a greater appreciation of the situation in which Chachma can be increased to a much greater degree. But there must be the appreciation of Chachma. That's why a person who is an Amor Oretz can never ever have any concept of doing Torah Mitzvah Lishma. It's impossible. It's impossible. It's the only type of enjoyment that he perceives is the enjoyment of the psyche, and that's what he's after, basically. He's after satisfaction. So you'll tell him all about boss. I'll say, fine, that must be a greater satisfaction than I have from all the... I want that satisfaction. But he's still caught up in the desire to satisfy his satisfaction, his needs, you see? Whereas a person who is a person who has seen the world of Chachma, it's a different kind of phenomenon. He's attracted to that world of Chachma. Only a person who has seen that world can know what it is to be attracted to it in order that he should want to partake of it. So he should be massive the concept of Chai Olam Haba. Okay. It's not just Chachmei Yisrael, not just Chachmei Yisrael, but even Chachmei Umos Ha'olam, even Chachmei Umos Ha'olam perceive a desire for Olam Haba. In what way? A person that's a real Chacham, a person that's a true Chacham, always has a desire. He realizes, no matter how much intelligence man has, and even the most intelligent person, there is always the realization that he comes to a greater realization of the infinite Chachma that lies before him. And the desire to remove the veil that prevents us from seeing reality. I think Albert Einstein used that terminology, but it's not just Albert Einstein, it's Chachmei Umos Ha'olam also. They perceive the desire. A person who is a chacham perceives the desire to be able to uncover reality. The desire to be able to uncover what is this reality behind everything that we see. So this desire to perceive the ultimate chachma is something that everyone recognizes. And basically that's the desire for Chai Olam Haba. Some of the Chachmim HaSolem may not have accepted the idea of Olam Haba, but the desire for such a situation every Chacham has. Only a Chacham can have that desire. A person who learns Torah just because he enjoys the activity, I would say he's on a high level, but that's not the ultimate level. Not the ultimate level. That still is not there. The ultimate, because the Rambam mentions, as a matter of fact, some people who are involved in different way, mathematical games or things like that. He says this type of a person is not really a true chacham, but he enjoys it. He enjoys it. As a matter of fact, that was one of the philosophers, by the way. That was really the Epicurus idea that the enjoyment of the chacham is the greatest enjoyment. So the idea was that you're making a mistake in thinking that the physical enjoyments are really enjoyable. The greatest enjoyments are the enjoyments of the mind, you see. But as long as a person is tied, his essential motivation is personal satisfaction, he's not in this realm. He's not in this realm. Because he's still tied to the idea of personal satisfaction. I'll give you an example. A person has a desire to enjoy learning. He likes learning. So what will he like? He'll like if you give him a certain type of a question, where he can exercise his mind, okay? He did that in yeshiva a lot of times. We call them four questions, okay? That's good. It's good to use his method. But the thing is, it shows a person that the enjoyment of learning is very great, which is true. Which is true, by the way. The mind is made that way. It's true. But that's not the ultimate level. The ultimate level is that a person has a true desire to understand Shas. That's a different thing. It means the toughest Gemara will spend hours in the toughest Gemara, even though he knows he has a small chance of even breaking through the Gemara, you see. But his desire is to understand Shas. His desire is to have knowledge of the ideas of Torah. That person will not care, even though he could spend days and not achieve anything, and the chances of his achieving things are slight. But if a person was truly after the psychological satisfaction that one attains from learning, he wouldn't take up such an area. They would. He'd take up areas which lend themselves more readily to enjoyment. Something that he could tackle that he can enjoy. I'm not saying the enjoyment of the mind is a great thing. It's a high level if a person enjoys the enjoyment of the mind. It's a high level. I'm not putting it down. I'm not saying it's a level. But there is a level that's greater than that. Where the person is simply has a desire to uncover the ideas of Torah per se. He wants to know Shas. He's drawn to God's system. He wants to understand God's system in the totality. He wants to see the totality of God's system. So therefore, he's drawn to all the areas of knowledge of Torah. You understand what I mean? It's a different kind of motivation. Okay? This type of pleasure is only a result. is only a result of the fact that every faculty, every essence, every entity, when it functions according to its nature, there is a perception of a pleasurable perception. See, which is the soul has the same thing. The only thing is in this world that's cut off from us, but the soul has, there is such an attending enjoyment. But that enjoyment is not the, that enjoyment is not the objective for a simple reason. Because since you can't perceive that enjoyment, so you can't possibly desire it. The only enjoyment that a person perceives and that he desires is the psychological enjoyment. And what he wants is that that other enjoyment should be converted into this enjoyment, because that's basically what he's after. You see? It's a subtle trick, but that's the way it is. You see? Right, yeah. Person is enthralled by reality and has to know it. That's a different kind of a motivation than a person who enjoys the thought, enjoys ideas. Enjoying ideas is great, but there's a step beyond that. It is true. The enjoyment of ideas, the enjoyments of the mind are superior to the enjoyments of the physical. No question about it. It's a superior enjoyment. But it's not Oved Me'av. Oved Me'av is a higher level. Oved Me'av, the person will be happy to suffer in order to uncover a bit of reality. So, he's not after the pleasure. He's after the uncovering. He has to know what the truth is. Yes. See, the in Olam Hazeh, what you have is the function of the soul. The function of the soul is in Olam Hazeh. The function. But it works, it's tied to the guf, and therefore it's tied to the psychological. Now, the thing is, when a person is drawn, the draw that pulls a person to understand, that attracts him to penetrating reality, that's the soul. That draw is the soul. The draw, when an individual, okay, the attraction of a person's mind to penetrating reality, that attraction, that force that pulls him towards reality, that is the soul. That is an expression of the soul. The ability, that which makes him capable of the system that permits him to involve psychological energies, to endow his pursuit with certain psychological energies, that is the psyche. But the function is the function of the soul. That part of man that searches to uncover reality, that goes beyond the physical and searches to understand why or how it works and what is the source and what are the ideas that lie behind it, what the ultimate reality is, that part of man is the soul. But the attending, any attending enjoyment, psychological enjoyments, are from the psyche. But the soul is constructed in such a way, it's a hybrid, you see. But the function of the soul in this world is what perfects the individual, and that continues directly in the next world on a higher plane. You follow? If a person has a greater psychological enjoyment of thought, and still have a less perfected self. Okay? I'll give you an example. Like I mentioned before, a person who is searching for an idea, searching to uncover reality, foregoes psychological enjoyment. Because he could be studying areas where he will be attaining tremendous enjoyment every moment, solving puzzles, working out equations, solving puzzles. You see? So solving a puzzle will give him tremendous enjoyment. That will be a psychological enjoyment. But the person foregoes that because he's attracted to a reality beyond the scope of the physical. You follow what I mean? He's attracted to that reality. That attraction is that's the engagement of the soul. And he really forfeits many times psychological enjoyment because of that. Forfeits it. He might be going on a quest where he might never even be able to attain anything. He goes on endless quests. You see? But the quest is the soul. No, not necessarily nutrition. But they're not parallel. They're certainly not parallel. You see, they're not parallel. That's the point. Now the psyche is made up of in such a way that a person can actually go on such a trip. You can go on such a quest. Psyche tolerates, psyche allows it. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the individual will have in some total or is looking to have in some total a greater psychological satisfaction than a thought. You see, it's a quest for the truth. It's not a quest for enjoyment of psychological enjoyment. There's a difference between the two. The bechira is to get to that point. The bechira of man is only to be able to be in such a state. And to what extent he's in that state. But the state itself, once that state arises, no bechira. On the contrary, you see, the pasuk says, kicholas avon, that's what the Melech says. Kicholas avon means he's lovesick. But the person who's lovesick is just drawn to the love object. It's a natural draw. Kicholas avon. He doesn't have to do anything about it. It's a natural state. It's a natural state. He's completely unaware of himself, as a matter of fact. He's completely lost. Concern for the self is lost. There's no more concern for the self. He's completely involved in something else. He's engaged. He's enraptured by something else. The self is not a concern anymore. The self is the last thing, is the farthest thing removed from his mind. Okay? Doing anything for joy is doing it for the self. He's drawn, he's involved, he's completely drawn. That's when the soul is acting. That's the action of the soul. And we're saying that the bechira is only in so far as having the soul function. That's where the bechira is involved, right? But the function of the soul itself does not involve bechira. So therefore, whatever that function is, it can't change. That's why you can't have any. That's why you can't make any changes in Olam Haba. Because in Olam Haba, in other words, the only way you can make changes is, insofar as the bechira is concerned, in dispersing your psychological energies. The bechira relates to how you expend your psychological energies, how you disperse your psychological energy. Okay, that is only a function of Olam Hazeh. There's no psychological energies over there. Over there, whatever has captivated the soul follows. So there's different levels. There's no way to make any changes. It's impossible. The only bechira that we have is to bring the soul into function. But the function of the soul itself involves no bechira whatsoever. So that's why Olam Haba is devoid of any type of bechira. It's impossible to have the bechira in Olam Haba. By definition. That's right. When we talk about Chazal wouldn't waste any time, that was how they were dispensing their energies. Dispensing energies is an activity of bechira. You see? The Rambam mentions that he says that if you study the Sefer of Koheles, you'll find out that this idea is the most prevalent idea in the Sefer. See, that's what he means. Because what is the ultimate fantasy that everybody's after? Basically, the fantasy of immortality. That's the basic fantasy. That's the same fantasy. The fantasy of immortality is not what the soul is after, I want you to know. The fantasy of immortality is what the guf is after. It's what the psyche is after. The psyche is after the fantasy of immortality. It's not the soul. So, yeah, the soul is not after the fantasy. Is that right? That's what the Rambam mentioned. That's what the Rambam mentioned said for Koheles. Because that's the ultimate fantasy that everybody's after. No matter what a person does, whether he wants to be a great a billionaire, or whether he wants to be a famous person, whatever, it all boils down to one thing. The fantasy of immortality, which is unachievable. Unattainable. That's the basic underlying fantasy. And that's why a person is attracted. That's why people are attracted like a magnet to the concept of Olam Haba. I want you to know, I mean, it happens to be, it's a funny thing, but it happens to be a very good selling point. You see? Because people are attracted precisely to that. But unfortunately, that's not the way, that's why Chazal emphasized that even though a person's nature is attracted to it, you see? I often mentioned a lot of parallels that you find that are close, but similar they seem, but they are completely different. On the surface they seem similar. Like you find contagion. So you see, primitive man believes in contagion, right? And modern medicine also believes in contagion. But the idea of contagion of primitive man, the idea of contagion of modern medicine are two totally different ideas. See, primitive man believed that the sun is the source of all life on this planet. And worship the sun. You see? It happens to be true scientifically that the energy of the sun is that which feeds the planet, but it's in a different, completely different idea than the primitive man has, you see? And the same thing is true with Olam Haba. That Olam Haba is there's a primitive part of man that's attracted to the idea of Olam Haba. That's his primitive nature. There is a real Olam Haba, but the real Olam Haba is a totally different phenomenon than the idea of Olam Haba that the primitive mind has. And most people are attracted to the idea of Olam Haba on a primitive level, and they can't distinguish between the primitive desire and fantasy to the real. And that's what Yadis distinguishes. That's what Yadis shows. There is it all, but it's totally different. As a matter of fact, it has nothing to do with the fantasies that the individual wants, because the fantasies that the individual wants are based on this world, are actually this world based. That's what those fantasies are. And it doesn't make any sense that they should exist in a world where there's no physical body. It just can't be, you see. That's why you have people that are atheistic and they reject the idea. And other people know they insist on the idea. It's just a question of which side of the coin they're working on, you know what I mean? But Yadis maintains, no, there is an Olam Haba, but it's a completely different idea than what the primitive people think. You see, that's really the Rambam in Sanhedrin tries to show. That's why it brings down the primitive ideas of Olam Haba. He says it's like, it's a nice river flowing milk and honey, and there's wine there, and there are tivers and enjoyments, you see? That's the primitive idea, the primitive desire for Olam Haba. Now, a person who's rooted in the primitive can take on Olam Haba in his fantasy, can assume that kind of a satisfaction. He'll do mitzvahs in order to attain that satisfaction. That is not the appropriate way to worship God. We don't dissuade a person from doing that. And we encourage it, as a matter of fact. Because through that, we tell Shalom Shema Bava Shema. So we encourage it in people. It would be wrong. It would be an absolute issue for a person to break down this fantasy, to show a person, say, look, why are you doing mitzvahs? Because you don't want a bar. The whole thing's absurd, because all your fantasies are based upon this world, and they can't exist over there. So all my bar must be something different. So you wouldn't even want that. So what are you working for? If you did that, you'd break a person down. You'd destroy the individual. You'd destroy the individual. Yadis has ava for mankind, and Yadis helps people. And it allows them to indulge in fantasies if it's taking them on the correct path. You see? Ultimately, of course, in order to open up their minds and give them true ideas. Okay.
Two points. One point is that the approach according to Yadis, the approach is a different one than the approach of being psychologist. Why? Because a psychologist will always try to cause a person to spend time in analysis of the self in order to remove any kind of because in the end there seems to be involvement in enjoyments and the energy of the world of Kachman would not be involved in the self. There'd be no reason for it. And I mentioned last week that the world of Chachma, so then he's going to act differently. Even insofar as analyzing himself. See, it depends when. It depends when he will do it. He will only spend the time under certain circumstances. But if he can involve himself in the world of Chachma, he won't involve himself in such a time-wasting pursuit. So his criteria will be totally different than the psychologist. The important point is that there is no such thing as an objective science of psychology. Because the so-called objective science of psychology is based upon a certain metaphysical premise. The metaphysical premise is that the good is the good of this world. That premise we don't accept. Okay, so while people may be very scientific in terms of their procedures, the cause or the reason for involving oneself in those procedures is based upon a metaphysical assumption, and therefore these sciences are not really sciences. They're based on assumptions. Okay. And unfortunately, many people are misguided because people take the psychologist to be the objective philosopher, but he can't be. His philosophy is not his area. Many of the things that he advises are based on an area that he has no knowledge of, and therefore we can't accept his advice.
The tacit assumption is that their set of values upon which they're basing their whole mode of operation is as objective as the methods they use within the operation. That is a false premise. That's all fine.
That's it, that's it. That's the way it is.
So the point is that the Rambam mentions that the real Rofe has to be the Chacham. That's why the real Rofe has to be the Chacham. The Rambam doesn't say it. He says a person has problems should go to the Chacham. Only the Chacham is the real Rofe. Because the Chacham that the Rambam is talking about is the Chacham. The only one that's capable of really giving advice is the real Chacham. Because he has the metaphysical basis, and knows exactly when to maneuver, and when to apply psychology, and when it's a psychological problem, and when it's not. It has to work, it has to be grounded on a metaphysical basis. Without the metaphysical basis, the whole thing is nonsense. A person will take the advice of a psychologist and spend his whole life in self-analysis. So it turns out, at the end of his life, he did nothing. I mean, now he's capable of enjoying something. It's nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. We don't maintain that the science is worthless. The science has a value. It has a value in so far and within the metaphysical framework. But not per se. Per se, a person can waste his whole life in chasing it. On the contrary, the more the person becomes involved in himself, the sicker he becomes. Because the whole illness, you see, in terms of our metaphysical grounding, we maintain that the happiness for man is only really when he involves himself in outside of the self. So therefore, what happens like this: if a person makes a mistake on that metaphysical basis, he could never achieve happiness. So the very happiness he's searching after, he's going to lose. He's forfeiting the very happiness he's searching after. That's because the idea of happiness has to be based upon a metaphysical analysis, not on a psychological analysis. That's the mistake of the psychologist. The cool way that happens to me is you have to understand the function of man and what his soul is made for and what he will gain happiness with. That's a philosophical question. It's not a psychological question. Okay? They're assuming, the psychologists are assuming, that this man has no soul. That's the first assumption. The first assumption man has no soul is just like a sophisticated behemoth. So the assumption, based on that assumption, one can go completely in the wrong direction. And that's why you have. Happiness is not the world of the psychologist. Happiness is the world of the philosopher. The philosopher can determine the nature of the soul and how the soul will be happy. Then the psychologist, just like a medical practitioner, will be helpful within the framework. Within that framework, but he is not the framework. You have to be careful of the subtle frameworks of the psychologist's soul. Psychology is based upon an assumption that the world outside is the real world, and the assumption is false. And therefore, the way they direct people is totally to their doom. The thing was that the Rambam mentions that for most people, if they lose the physical world, then it's considered that they lost their entire life. And that he says that "V'hamon kulam yafku ha'emes b'zos ha'shela." He says the Hamon Am convert the truth, exactly the opposite in this question. And they say that people who involve themselves in this thought and ideas have lost this world because they didn't partake of taiva. And on the contrary, the people that partake of taiva, they're the ones that have gained this world. And the Rambam says, "V'aim son l'choshech la'or v'or l'choshech la'oy l'ma'abdim ha'emes." Woe unto those who cause themselves to lose the truth. Okay? So, the point I want to make is, I mentioned last week that the person should live by a certain barometer. The barometer should be based upon his needs. But there's another thing that results from it also, and the only reason I'm mentioning it is because I think that it's important that a person should always live with the true ideas and shouldn't allow the false ideas to overcome his mind's eye, even if he's involved in the world of taiva. And that is that the representation of this concept would be that in the regular world, in the world at large, that people often take pride in the level of taiva that they've achieved. Okay? They take pride in their material objects that they've gained. They show their friends, they take pride in themselves. Look at this wonderful, unbelievable
new object that I possess, the possession. But to the Chacham, on the contrary, to the Chacham, any possession of materialism only has one purpose. The purpose is to permit the individual, not ascetics, to believe a person should enjoy Olam Hazeh. But the enjoyment of Olam Hazeh is only as a means to involve oneself in the world of thought. That's the real enjoyment. That's the greatest taiva. So therefore, a person, rather than taking pride in his material status, should really not only shouldn't he brag about it, but it should be an object of shame, so to speak, in a sense. Because what he should, because it shows, in other words, the more taiva, the more material objects he has, it shows you, unfortunately, that the amount of energy that has to be wasted by this individual in order to be involved in the world of Chokhmah. So it comes out exactly the opposite. That what most people, that's the Hamish Somim Choshech La'or, La'or Choshech. So what most people take pride in terms of their possessions and material accumulations, is really for a Chacham not a source of bragging, but on the contrary, it's sort of something that detracts from his pride in himself. Because it shows that he requires such a level of involvement and wasted energy in order to participate in Chachma, the less, on the contrary, the less he requires, the greater his, the better his situation is. So when a person partakes of the world of Taiva, he shouldn't lose sight of the truth in regard to the reality of that partaking. We're not ascetic. We don't maintain the person to not enjoy Olam Hazeh, but not for the sake of Olam Hazeh. Each person has to assess what he needs and partake to that degree that it's necessary for him to be involved in the world of Chokhmah. But the higher level a person is on, the less he needs to in order to partake of the world of Chokhmah. That's why the Ram mentions in the Chazal, Chachmei Yisrael only limited themselves with the Lashon Rambam. Only to exactly what they needed, not a thing more. Only b'dov atzorach. That was man kotzer ma'od b'dov atzorach she'ef shezulas. They only involved themselves with things that are completely impossible to do without. So that is the level. A person should take pride in. There's an emotion of pride. A person should take pride in the good. Not take pride in that which is represents a corruption of the soul. So therefore, the point I'm making is that when a person involves himself in the world of the material, he should involve himself in so far as it's necessary in order to satisfy himself so that he can be involved in Chacham, but it certainly shouldn't be a source of pride. On the contrary, it represents his weakness. The less he requires, the higher level he's on. Okay? Yes? Of error here, and one of them looks like it's very close to perfection. It gives the appearance of perfection. That's what a person takes pride in the fact that, on the contrary, he really has desire for all these things. But the other thing is that he wants to show that he show himself or show others that he doesn't need them. On the contrary, it's like it's Barossa.
Yeah,
that was the problem. That's the problem. I don't believe that in man there is such a thing, hardly such a thing as taiva just for the sake of taiva. But the taiva is very limited that man can partake of. Immediately he sees that he is not satisfied. So the next step is only taiva so far as others would appear to others. If you remove the others, I don't think there'd be too much taiva. In other words, given this person's situation, if he was the only one in the world, I don't think he'd be involved too much in taiva. Basically, it's the ego is always behind it. In man, there's always a philosophical value behind it, but the philosophical value was determined by the taiva, wherever the taiva went, to the point where the intellect was completely worthless. Okay. But in Dor HaFlaga, the intellect played a role. Okay. The memory is basically talking about being a person being affected. In other words, a person you want to appease your friend. You know, you have to appease your friend. He's angry, so you should know when to do it. You shouldn't do it the moment of his anger. Because the moment of his anger, he's not subject to appeasement. Okay, And B'shar Shem Meso Mutlafonov doesn't have to be Dafka, doesn't mean the Dafka that it was really a Meso. It means that a Meso could be a tragedy. He just lost $1 million. You don't go over and start telling him rationally, look, money's not so important. I mean, the main thing in life is the ideas, so why are you so upset? There's nothing. Okay? And Valtish Lovashas Nidra, see, a person is making a dharma, is making vows. So usually when a person makes vows, they're in a state of anger. That's why they make vows. All right? So a person, for instance, might make Nidorim because they don't want to do a certain action. They don't want to overeat, for instance. So after a binge, they'll start making all kinds of Nidorim. And so at that moment, when they're angry with themselves, they're making these Nidorim. Not a good idea to ask him exactly the details of the nether. Does it include this? Does it include that? Can you keep your shawl in this nether this way? The way it goes? Because just on the contrary, everything he asks them, they're going to include that in the nether. And finally they'll make a nether that they can't break. There won't be any purpose for the nether. You're not supposed to do that. You won't be able to, you're going to close off all the, now the person's angry and making a darn, so leave them alone. This way at least they have a Pesach for the nether later. And the last one is that you shouldn't try to be present at the time when a person is in the moment of his own weakness, his own shortcomings. Because the person, when a person loses his sense, his rational sense, so he can't control himself. And your being there, your very being there, is an embarrassment for him, because you'll remember later that you were there and he acted that way. It's very embarrassing. So you should try to not be present at that moment. That's basically the memory. So the Rambam says that this has to do with the idea of doing something in the proper moment. In the proper moment. Which means to say, what does it mean in the proper moment? So what's the concept? The concept is that a person, why would a person not do it in the proper moment? It seems like a logical, sensible thing. You want to... In the wrong time. What's the motivation to do it in the wrong time? The plain translation of the Rambam is, you would do it? Two possibilities. Yeah. There's two possibilities. It could be due to a base motive. It could be due to a base motive. That sometimes a person, it could be a vicious thing. That a person enjoys seeing the weakness of another individual. So when he sees the person is being irrational, so go over and talk to him rationally. Hey, look, I spoke to the guy rationally. That's it. I mean, he's not rational. What are we going to do? Right? Even though Shlomo said this with his wisdom, So it means to say that really what Shmuel HaKotan did was he emphasized this. And he helps him personally. If he destroys the system, there's a chiyuv to have a sinner for him. Because he's doing something, he's corrupting the whole of Yadus. So and it can't be based upon the person. It cannot be based upon the personal, and therefore there can't be any enjoyment in seeing an enemy, a person who you've been following, Yifchal Tismach, in seeing an enemy have a downfall, because that's a personal kind, that's an enjoyment on a personal level, and such a thing represents the base part of an not permitted. The person who involves himself with that is on a low level. Yes. That these individuals, the individuals who are the leaders of the conservative and reform movement, deserve our sinner. It must be sinner towards them in a philosophical sense. I want to make it clear. In a philosophical sense, it's a philosophical kind of sinner, not a personal sinner. If we could help them, we certainly would. You know, on a personal level, if we could change them, we certainly would. But insofar as they're corrupting Yadus, then there has to be a sinner for them, because they're destroying and harming people by giving them the wrong ideas, by teaching people false ideas, fraudulent practices, Like I saw last week, I mentioned in my shiur, there was a tshuva from a conservative rabbi on Stam Yeinam and Yayin Netzach. I mean, you have to be filled with hatred when you see the corruption and the fraud that an individual could try to give the illusion that he's writing a tshuva and distort all the sources of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, openly distort it and make people who are ignorant think that he knows what he's talking about with regard to the question he deals with. I mean, that's rishis. That's the height of evil to do such a thing. To and sinus or Russia go hand in hand. Has to be that way. Wazir has to be that way. Avas Hashem and sinus or Russia goes hand in hand. One difficulty here, because the difficulty is when you come to appearances. In other words, there are people, everybody always claims that they're L'shem Shemayim. I mean, L'shem Shemayim is the greatest banner under which to do the worst evil. I mean, there's no question about it. But it still can't prevent us from understanding what the true ideas are. Just because there are people that are fraudulent doesn't mean that the true idea doesn't exist. Okay? I mean, there are people who can experience the sin of a Russia just because he distorts, not a personal thing. A person that's on a level, on a certain philosophical level, should have that type of a feeling. He should have that type of a feeling. But just because others corrupt the idea and they just hate somebody for personal reasons and then they say this person's a Russia and therefore they go make a whole campaign and they'll change their mind against the individual, that doesn't mean that that's a total distortion, that the person's operating on an emotional level. Doesn't mean that there's no true idea behind it. There is a true idea, but the person has distorted the true idea. Okay. So, before Chema, Rashi says, wasn't he covered with Pharaoh? Kishakarish Borcho, Osa, Din, Imarashayim, Shmo Miskadesh. Right? So it's a Kiddush, in Shemayim. So that's why it's Sisvarach Ram Layam, and the idea of a Shiro is because of it's Kiddush Ma Gadol. But on the other hand, what Joe is asking is, why is it that the Malachim weren't permitted to say Shira? And if it's on if we're speaking on an objective plane, in other words, you're not allowed to hate the Mitzvah because personal reasons, because they weren't nice to you. That's not it. The only reason you can hate the Mitzvah is because they distorted the ideas of God. They didn't live the proper life. So if that's the case, so why can't the Malachim say Shira? Good question. There's nothing in the Shira about the fact that the Mitzrayim were mean to the Jews, and that's why they were happy that their enemies were destroyed. No, it's all on the plane. Others in the skull, Eidel Yeshua, recognition of God. It has nothing to do with the personal satisfaction. So that Shira should be a good Shira. So why can't the why can't the Malachim say such a Shira? Good question. Since it's on an objective plane, so why can't Malachim say it? Person converts the energy that he has in applying awe towards an image, a human image, where he recognizes that whole idea is false, and what he does is he takes the emotion and that energy and he applies it to the correct source, which is God. That's the idea of Shira. Man has to say Shira. Why? Because when man sees that God does an action which makes himself known, and it causes man to see the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to break through momentarily all his false emotions, and to see the reality, he must say Shira. He must say Shira, because he's undergone an experience through which he recognizes God. That's what it means, Shmo Niskadesh. Wasn't it Shmo Niskadesh? It means people break out of their way of seeing things which is false, their false values, and appropriating false measures of power to other individuals, and they recognize that the source of their power, the only power, is God. So they break out of that, out of their illusion, and they see the reality. Then they must say Shmo. But a Malach isn't in that state. A Malach doesn't have the problem. He doesn't have the problem. He's not a boss of a dog. So for him, the only reason he'd say Shira is if on totally an objective plane there was a game. But on an objective plane there wasn't a game. On an objective plane it's Maisa Yoda Yisela Beyon. So that's why man can say Shira under such a condition, but not a Malach. Malach can't say Shira under those conditions. Only man can say shiva because he benefits. Now he sees Vayamin Vayura Masad Hashem, Vayamin Vayura Hashem of Moshe Avdo. So because of that, they were able to see the Galus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you can see the Galus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you must say shiva. You must say shiva. But that's only a bustle of dumb, but not a malach. A malach didn't undergo that experience. So what are you saying shiva for? It must be totally objective. No, my siyata tavayon. That's what the Gemara says. That's the answer to the question. The only ones that can say shiva are the ones that are involved on a level of bechira in the activity. So Klal Yisrael is involved on one level. Moshe Rabbeinu is involved on another level. He's involved as a leader. But Malachim aren't involved. Malachim are just objective beings that are witnessing the situation. So what are they saying shiva for? Objective level is the difference between a malach and a bas adam. Okay. How do we only say chatzal? One reason we don't say chatzal halal. Two reasons we don't say chatzal halal on the last cholamayit and Pesach is because of the idea that the ma'aseh yada tevel bayom. So what does it show you? It shows you like this. It's an interesting thing. So you say it's a contradiction, right? If you don't say full halal, why does ma'aseh yada tevel bayom? But on the other hand, we're supposed to say shira. So what are we supposed to do? It's impossible. Right? Now the answer is that's the approach of Yadus. In other words, Yadus is Machayev Yu and Shira. It's Machayev Yu and Shira. We're Machayev to say Shira. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't know the idea. We shouldn't know the idea of an objective reality of Maisi Yadu Tavu Bayam. Because that's an objective fact. That God has love for all his creatures. And if every Egyptian that died was a loss because it's part of the creation that's lost. So we do say Shira, but it's not a contradiction to recognizing that idea. That's why we say Chatzal. We say it all the time. So what does it mean? What's the reason why Shmuel said it all the time? The reason why I say it all the time is because what he was saying is that this is the most difficult thing for a man. The most difficult thing for a man is to remove himself from the reality, the social reality, and psychological reality, and to work on an objective philosophical plane. That is the most difficult thing for man. That is the battleground for man. That's what Shmuel said. Shmuel said you can sum up the whole battleground for human perfection in one pasuk. In follow Yivchal Tismach, u'bekosh lo al tagel libecha. He says a person can remove himself from the seeming reality of the social situation where he's in constant competition with other people. He's in constant competition with other people. So he has a rush or somebody he hates, he's happy that he has downfall. See? So his whole world is based upon his subjective emotions. So if a person could remove himself from that world, then he would be perfected. That's why he quoted that passage. That's the battleground for man. The battleground for man is that he doesn't look at things in terms of the ultimate reality, but it's totally on a person. He's in personal competition with everybody else, and therefore, if he has somebody he dislikes, he naturally is happy when that person has a downfall. He enjoys it. It's a medicine job. That means that he's operating on the instinctual level. He's not operating on the philosophical plane. That's why it says, Margala Bafuma. He used to say this pasuk. This pasuk represents the whole Mochamas Achayim that a person undergoes in this world. That was the pasuk that crystallized everything. Yeah. Because God removes himself. The Rabbah says, Ki Hashem Yisbarach Hirchik Etzon Chof Dalad Yedzayim. Ki Hashem Yisbarach Hirchik Mitziyiso Lofi Masha Efshar Umashi Yagia Yagia B'mikra. He says, what is he saying here? Because a person tends to feel, exactly what you're saying, a person tends to feel that if his enemy has a downfall, so he tends to feel, you see that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu now is working for me. He's destroying this guy. And it's all about me. So Rabbi says, don't think that that's the case. He says, because God is Machik is Metzias, and what happened there, because of that, it has nothing to do with you. In other words, don't allow this event is one that plays on a person's egocentricity. And the person should be realistic and should recognize it's only his egocentricity and there's no reality there whatsoever. That's what the robot says. Nice robot. Okay. But the pasuk, the psukim go on in the same sense. You see? Al tischa, the next pasuk after Penyerachon says Al tischa b'mereim al tekane b'roshoyim ki lo siya achris lo ra merishoyim yidach. Okay, so he says that you shouldn't be competitive, shouldn't be in competition with roshoyim. Al tekane b'roshoyim ki lo siya achris lo ra ner lo roshoyim yidach. The light of roshoyim will eventually be extinguished. Okay. So it means to say that a person is totally the same there. A person should be involved in the objective reality. It says, Karona, what is the second half of the question? Penyira Hashem, Rabbeinu, Veheshiv Me Olavapa. Okay? Yeah. By the way, there's an interesting Chazal that Rabbeinu Yonah brings on the Gemara before, when it mentions that Yofa, really it all ties in Yofa Shah B'tshuva Ma'aseh Tov B'olam Hazeh Mikol Chayei Olam Haba. He says like this, he brings down the story of Yossi ben Yoezer. Okay, brings down the story of Yossi ben Yoezer. Interesting story. So Yossi ben Yoezer was like this, that he was Yotze Lehare, they were taking him out to kill him by the Romans. That's right. Upoga bo yokim ish sroros. And this fellow, yokim ish sroros from Russia, rochev al sus. So yokim ish sroros was riding on a horse. And he said like this, said to him, he says, Amalei, he said to him, chazi sus yu da'arkavach morach, chazi sus yu da'arkavan moron. So what happened was, they were taking him out to be killed, and he was on the stick that they were going to, the pole that they were going to hang him from or kill him. So he said to him, he said, look at what you're riding on, meaning that you're going to your death, and look at the horse that I'm riding on, which is, which was very prestigious, way of traveling. So he says, so look, so, so